Let's take the Bible and turn to John. We'll be looking at a few places in John, but if you open at chapter 1, first of all, in the Gospel of John. I've entitled my message, I was thinking concerning this service, and as I was thinking all of last week, I was thinking along the themes of a disciple for Christ in 2004. And then on Thursday night we were at the prayer meeting and the Lord's servant was preaching along those lines, being a disciple. And I thought, well, that must be what I have to preach on the Lord's day. And therefore the Lord has guided us and directed us, and we pray the Spirit of God will help us to bring His word. A disciple for Christ in 2004. Now, there are many things when we come to the new year. People have many resolutions and how they're going to stop eating as much, and well, that has failed already, looking at some of you and looking at me. I had an ice cream bun last night, and I thought, well, that's that out. And some are, well, I'll go on a diet, but sure, I hear that every day and every week. My mum's one, and she says, well, she's going on a diet, and it happens every Monday. And it happens every Monday the whole year, so that doesn't really work. And some are going to try this, and some are going to try the other, and do this and that and the other. And yet, let me ask you today, what had you thought of doing for Christ in 2004? What's your resolution this year concerning the things of God? Is it your desire this morning, child of God, to be drawn into that closer relationship with Him in this year? Maybe that has been your desire. Lord, may I have that closer walk with Thee in this 2004. Maybe as you viewed the last year, you would maybe personally say to yourself, I haven't been what I ought to have been. I haven't walked with the Lord or as close to the Lord as I ought to have done. And so therefore, Lord, in this year, 2004, my resolution, spiritually speaking, is to know more of You, is to walk closer with You, and to lay everything in Your hands in this year. Well, I don't know what it is for you this year, but one thing I ask you is this. Will you serve Christ more this year in 2004? Or let me ask you, maybe is this year going to be the year that you're going to start to serve Christ? Maybe you've been on the road now for a little time. Maybe you're a young convert in Christ. There's young people here this morning. We're glad to see you. But let me ask you, are you who's just going on with life? Are you just going on with the things of life and going on with the career and everything? And yet the Christian life to you today is empty and maybe really nothing happening in the life of your own situation. But let me ask you today, have you given your life to Christ? Have you this year already saying, Lord, use my youthfulness, use my talent this year in Your service? Maybe, Lord, this is the year that You could call me to greater service for You. Oh, what a wonderful blessing that would be. Well, what a richness to your own heart and life if even today in this Lord's house, on the first day of the Lord's day of the new year, and just openly confess to God, Lord, I'm laying my life on the altar for You this year. And I want You to take my life and use it. I've been going through the forms of religion. I've been going through the forms of life, spiritual life. But Lord, I haven't been what I want to be. Lord, baptize me with power. And Lord, fill me with God the Holy Ghost. And Lord, use me in a very special way this year. Oh, if all of God's people got that vision this day, and if all of God's people got that desire this day, what great outreach work we would have in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. How people would be fired up to serve the Lord. How people would get into compassion and desire for the lost. And here we have a wonderful picture concerning the Lord's work among His disciples. God's work was to have disciples. We read this morning in Acts chapter 11, and why I wanted to read that is found for some reasons in this portion of Scripture. In Acts chapter 11, we read there that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Disciples, God's people, it is the desire of God that His people would be a disciple for Him. That they would do something for Christ. Now, when people hear that, they say, well, now, that's me out. I'm not great at speaking. No, but you're good at talking. If I listen to many of your conversations, I can tell you, well, I maybe wouldn't get a word in edgeways sometimes the way we go.
And maybe you think, oh, well, this is me out. Oh, I'm a Christian, all right, but this is me out. This is for the Sunday school teacher. Oh, give it. This is for the youth leader. It's for you. This is for you, Christian, this morning. And so as you sit in God's house, it doesn't matter to me whether you're 18 or 80 today. One thing is this, it is the desire of God that His people would be disciples for Him. And serve Him. I've often said to our Bible class and others, it doesn't matter whether you're cutting the grass or cleaning the church or whether you're the preacher in the pulpit, it's God's desire that all of God's people serve Him in some way. You see, when we come to something like this, people think, oh, well, this is not for me. I have no real great gifts. I couldn't stand up there and speak and so on. And you'll get a world and a list. You'll get a catalogue of excuses and reasons why not. And I ask you this morning, well, why not? There's nothing wrong with you today in other areas. There's multitudes of areas for God's people to work. There's not one today of God's people that there's not a job for them to do. And God had a desire that there would be those chosen to go as disciples and serve Him. These first disciples were certainly drawn together in a working team. They worked together, and let me say to you just in passing that that's what God desires for His people, to be a working team. We're not just to be an entity. We're not just to be a one-man band or ministry. He has a desire that we're all a working team. You don't do your thing and somebody does the other. We work together in the service of God. Instead of putting your all into the work of God, people today decide to work outside the church of God and do their own thing. Let me say to you, that is not the plan of God for His church. We are to meet together, we are to assemble together, and we are to work together as a team. And let me say to you today, may we in this new year, as a church, be united together as a working team. Whether it's making the tea, or whether it's seeing to the door, or whether it's welcoming someone that's sitting beside you or shaking the hand with someone and saying, nice to see you. It doesn't matter who we are, but let me say to you, one thing we must keep in mind, may God make us as a working team in 2004. Maybe you'd say, but I couldn't work with that one. Well, let me say to you, they're maybe saying the same about you. Oh, but you don't know, that is a hard person to get on with. And maybe you are as well to them. But friend, remember this. We're not working for each other. And we're not working to get a pat on the back by each other. Let me say, we're working together with God. And these men worked as a team. And the Lord dealt personally with them. Even though they were team workers, the Lord dealt personally with them. And He comes here and He focuses on individual needs at times as well. He speaks of different disciples. He speaks of their certain needs and desires. And therefore, let me say to you, it's good to know today that the Lord does the same for His people. Yes, we work as a team, but we're all individuals today. And God sees our needs and God meets us at the point of our needs. And that ought to encourage every Christian today, even though He calls us for service. It's good to know today that whatever our needs may be, and maybe you have a need this morning, and yes, you're as part of the working team in the church here, it's good to know that the Lord can meet us personally today. There's those in our congregation at this time, and they're going through days of sickness and pain of the body, and they work together for here. And they work for the work of God here. And their desire is to be part of that work. And yet they're going through pain today. Can I say to you this morning, it's good to know that He understands. And that He has time even for the personal needs. Even although we work together as a team, He has a desire for the personal needs of His people, as He done here. And so therefore we can rejoice today that He is a personal God. And so I want us to look at three things this morning concerning the life of Andrew, a wonderful person in the Bible. That's why I say God speaks to individuals and God deals with individuals at times and times with big companies of people. But I want us to look at Andrew this morning and look at three things. First of all, he was responsive, he was responsible, and he was resourceful. And I pray the Spirit of God will write these things upon our hearts today. He was a responsive disciple.
We first meet Andrew in the company of Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. And that was in our reading this morning as well, in Acts chapter 11, concerning John the Baptist, how he baptized with water. But he did rightly confess that there would be one who will come, who will baptize with the Holy Ghost. And therefore, we meet John in chapter 1, and he's sitting at the feet of John the Baptist here. And Andrew's listening very carefully to what John is confessing. John began his unique ministry in the Judean desert by calling the men and women of his nation to repentance. And if there's a day in our land that we need men to herald the gospel and call nation to repentance, is this day in which we live. There are many today who are in pulpits who are not proclaiming that message. And they're missing opportunities of proclaiming that message. Maybe today you could sit here and you could rightly think of many services or funeral services that you've maybe gone to or whatever, and you could count in your hand what how many times you've maybe heard the message of repentance preached. Thank God we're in a house today that preaches repentance. And we're not afraid to preach it at a funeral service or any other service in that matter. Thank God today we have a man who stands behind the dais and he preaches Christ and Him crucified. And John the Baptist hurled out the gospel message, and there was a young man sitting there, and maybe this could be you today, young man. Maybe you've come to the house of God today, as unconcerned as you like. Maybe you've come to please your parents. But let me say to you, Andrew was sitting at the feet of John the Baptist, and he was listening to this message of repentance, and the Spirit of God was working upon this young man's life, because read in John chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, he said, I am the voice, of course, this is John the Baptist. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Verse 27, He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. And verse 29, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. What a message. What a message of salvation. And I say to you, unconverted friend in this house today, you need God's salvation. I say to you today who are in your sin, maybe a young person here today, maybe last night you've been out in the things of the world, but I say to you today, Andrew was responsive to the call of God in salvation. And before he even got to do anything for Christ, he needed to have that personal relationship with Christ. Sad to say today, there are many in pulpits and it's only a job. It's only a job to get them through and to pay bills and so on. And well, the rest, they don't really care about. Go through the forms of Christian work. But I say to you today, before you can do anything for Christ, you need to know Christ as your Savior. And I say today on God's word, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, Andrew sat there. And as he gazed on this man, now he was an unusual man. He was a unique man, John the Baptist. He stood out from everybody. He was different than everybody else. But God had anointed him to be the forerunner and therefore to preach this message and go as a herald of the gospel and the way of salvation in his mouth. And he obeyed God, and as he preached the gospel, Andrew fell under conviction of sin. And so among the thousands that heard this message, Andrew was pricked in his heart. And Andrew responded to the call of God in salvation. And he experienced and he took that urgent message upon his heart. And he was so eager to learn more about the Lord that not only did he come to Christ, but he did desire to follow Christ. And I ask you today, child of God, how far have you walked with God in 2003? Have you this deep burden like Andrew? Yes, he was rightly converted. He was now a newborn in Christ. And oh, how he longed to follow Christ. And to know more about Christ. Is that your desire today? Or maybe you have been on the road a long time in the Christian walk. And maybe today that fervency or that zeal or that eagerness is gone. Maybe partially from your life. And maybe today you would say, Philip, well, to be honest with you, I don't have that same zift as I once had. Oh, then today I say to you, just in the quietness of your heart, Lord, fan the flame again. And thank God He'll do it. I ask you, child of God, today, yes, you're converted. Thank God you're on the way to heaven, and we praise God for that. But I ask you today, how close are you to Christ? How are you walking with Christ today? Oh, maybe you're just glad to be saved, but other than that, you're stuck. Other than that, that's as far as you really want to go in the Christian life, just to have that ticket out of hell, and therefore to get that entrance into glory when that day comes. But really, any further than that, well, just don't ask me to go there. Friend, you're missing out on God's best. You're missing out on what God has desired for you. You're missing out on the abundance of blessings that are for the child of God. And no wonder you're feeling flat today. No wonder you're feeling a bit low today. Because you've never given your eagerness and your enthusiasm completely to the Lord. You're just glad to be saved, and that's as far as it goes. Oh, Andrew was responsive to the call of salvation. Sinner, will you be that today? Oh, maybe you've heard a gospel message time and time again. You've spent years, you've spent another year in your sin, and yet today you are still far from the Lord. And I ask you, would this be the year? Because who knows? This could be the year that you could be called from the scene of time. In fact, I'll go further. This could be the only Sunday morning in this church that you'll ever see. Because you could be out in eternity tomorrow. You could be out into eternity this afternoon. Brother Rodney will not mind me using this. But his aunt got up the other morning. Went about her daily tasks. Brought the tea up. Came down into the kitchen. The husband thought her a wee bit long. So he decided to go and see where she was at. And he found her dead in the kitchen. But thank God she was ready to go. Now if that had been you, sinner, you'd be in hell. That's fact. Maybe as you sit here today, you don't want to hear it. But I've been factual with you today. You would have died in your sin and you'd have went to a lost sinner's hell. And there'd be no way out. And maybe you're like Andrew today and you've sat under the preaching of the gospel and you can account for years sitting under the preaching of the gospel. And you've heard an appeal after an appeal after an appeal. And maybe there's been times you've shed a tear. And maybe there's been times you're about to go down the aisle for Christ and you yet you haven't. Let me say to you, friend, today, if the Spirit of God is working in your life today, it's time you got right with God. Or with the words of the Word of God, it's time to seek the Lord. Because who knows what a day brings forth. And Andrew came to Christ. And Andrew trusted Christ in salvation. It seemed as he listened to John, he probably went back to those days, in his early days when he listened to the wonderful Word of God, even concerning Exodus chapter 12, where the Passover lamb was presented. And I'm sure as he listened, oh, it brought back memories. Maybe that's the same for you today. Maybe you could recite this verse that I've been talking about. Behold the Lamb of God. You could say it inside out, upside down, back to front, because you know it so well. And you've heard the theme of the blood, and you've heard Christ has died for your sin. Andrew knew it. And I have no doubt Andrew's mind was fixed on what was prophesied in the Word of God, that the Messiah would come. And as he listened to the blood gospel, the Spirit of God worked in his life. And he came to Christ. He didn't follow or put his trust in John. He didn't wrap himself around him in his religion. He didn't dress up in the idea that he was good enough, because in John chapter 1 and verse 35 it says, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak and listen, and they followed Jesus. What are you following today? What have you been following for years? Has it been the church? But I have news for you today. I'll never get you into glory. Is it the man who stands behind the desk here? If he was here himself today, he would say the same. He wouldn't be able to get you into glory. Is it because it's the denomination connected to the moderator? If the moderator was here today, he would say the same. Behold the Lamb of God. And friend, you get off your eyes today. People, things, or a church. Because John that day realized Christ was the answer and he had his trust in him. He was responsive to the call of God in his life. Oh, I pray today that God will move upon your life and heart. Not only was he responsive to the call of God, I say to you today, he was a responsible disciple. Andrew was not only responsive, he was responsible too. He came to Christ. He knew the joy of salvation, and now he had a desire to serve Christ, and he went with Christ in the service and to spread the glorious message. And that was what he wanted to do, to tell others about the Lord Jesus. And after he'd only spent a full day with Christ, he went to find his own brother Peter to bring him to Christ. In Acts chapter 11 we read of Peter as well, preaching the word. And in John, in John chapter 1 and verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Oh, bringing him to Jesus. Oh, what a responsible person. What a person today who was out and out for God. You see, friend, God didn't ask him to stand up in a 1,000 crowd and preach. See, people get this idea, well, you're only doing something for God if you're standing in a multitude of people. No, Andrew went to one person. He went to his brother. He met with his brother and he brought him to Christ. Will you do that this year? Oh yes, you mightn't be great at speaking, I'm not saying that. You mightn't have great oratory as some others may have. But God's not concerned about that. But let me say to you, there's one thing we can all do, and it's bring. Have you asked anybody to come to God? Have you asked anybody to come to God's house? You know, there's nothing much in an invitation. Oh, now don't get me wrong. Some things you might be told, well, some other time. And that sort of knocks the excitement out of her, the enthusiasm. And if you get it once and you get it second and, well, third time, well, it doesn't really give you much encouragement. But I will say this, perseverance. And sometimes people have come to Christ through a soul been persevering, and eventually they've come and heard the gospel and Christ has saved them. But there's one thing we can all do. This is for every individual Christian here today. There's one thing we can all do is this. We mightn't be able to do much else, but there's one thing we can do. We can bring. Will you bring souls to the house of God this year? Will you say, look, we have a gospel service on tonight, or we have a special testimony tonight, and well, will you come and hear it? And he started off with his family, by the way. That's just come to me there. He didn't go till a complete stranger. He started off at home. And I can tell you by your prayer meetings, there's many are praying for household salvation. And let me ask you, have you ever invited them to the meeting? Have you ever said, now, if there's a problem, I'll go and pick you up on everything? While the rest are praying, you do that, and we'll keep praying, and you do that, and God will bless you, because God's using you. That's been used of God. Bringing others to Christ. Oh, what's the first thing in your life and mine this year? We often hear the word of passion for souls, and I have to ask today, do we really have a passion for souls? If we had, we'd bring them in. Bring them to Christ. Let Christ do the work in their lives. Romans 9 and 2 gives that very clearly. We're not turning it up for time, but it gives it very clearly. And if we read Bible characters, if we read our history of many great people, you can see there the passion of souls they had. They went and brought others to hear the message. They explained to others the way of salvation. And God moved upon them and God worked upon them and brought precious souls to Christ. And there were many of them that were only ordinary people. Many of them were only ordinary folk like you and me. And yet God used them because what did they do? They gave their life to Christ and said, "Use it, Lord, for your glory. Here's my life. I want to be a responsible Christian." And we are responsible for what we do. We are stewards of what we do with our lives and what we do with the Word of God. And what a blessing it was. And you know something? Andrew never preached maybe great messages, and Andrew never stood upon multitudes. But in bringing his brother Peter to the Lord Jesus Christ, as Peter done the preaching for him, and thousands were converted. Do you want to be a link in the chain to bring precious souls to you? You may never speak to thousands, but you could be the one that brings someone else, and that someone else can be used by God to go to the thousands. Sunday school teacher, be heartened today, because God can save that little child of yours in the Sunday school class, and He can take that child to the first. You may just have five or six. But if that's what God wants for you, then you be glad, because He could take one person from that Sunday school class who could go to the far-flung corners of the world and reach multitudes with the gospel. So keep teaching. I say to you youth workers today, yes, sometimes young people can be difficult and everything, but I say to you today, keep praying, keep working, because someday even the wildest boy or the most hardest girl to work with, God could save that precious soul and change that life completely and send them out to be a herald of the gospel. So keep hearted. And children's worker today, do the same. They might jump over your head, they might jump on your head, but you keep praying for them, because someday they could be jumping around some other place preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One person, and God might be used. He brought his brother, and his brother done the preaching for him, but through Andrew. And our time's gone. A responsive person. He came at the call of God in salvation. He was a responsible person. He didn't waste time. And he was a resourceful person. Many Christians are honest enough today to confess that although they know that personal evangelism is important, then often they say that they find it hard to really open their mouths and speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some will say they get tongue-tied. And that happens to us all. Sometimes they get embarrassed in case they get things mixed up or a question is asked, and therefore they get a bit confused and they're afraid of that and that hinders, and afraid of causing an offence if something said the wrong or taken the wrong way, or maybe unconfident whether they will be able to do it well. See, people are like that. Even pointing people to Christ, some people are afraid because they think, well, I'll not be done well. Listen, you do the talking, Christ does the saving. I'm glad of that. It's not me that saves. When I bring somebody to inquiry room, I'm glad it's not me that saves, as Christ does the saving. And He does the keeping as well. And sometimes we get all caught up in that. But let me say to you, I am sure that such has been our hindrance in the past, maybe in the past year, and dealing with people today is very difficult. I have no doubt about that. For various reasons, it is difficult, and I'm not taking that away. But I must emphasize to you today that many huge enterprises often have modest beginnings. They start off small. I often think of our own denomination. And you go to any of the churches today in our denomination and you speak to them, and they'll tell you that they met in a tent, they met in a tin hut, they met in some odd kind of hut, and they were laughed at, they were scorned at, they were called many different types of names and everything. But let me say to you, we're only where we're at today because of God. But they started off small. You take this work, there's ones in this house today, and they could speak to you and tell you, a wee handful of people gathered together. But God has brought it to where it is today. Started off small, didn't it? Andrew, one person, but he saw Peter converted to Christ, and multitudes were brought to the Lord. or resourceful believer. And I can't turn it up for time, but you remember the story well where Andrew and Philip and the Lord Jesus Christ standing in the little, there's a multitude, they're needing fed, the feeding of the 5,000, and they're standing, and the Lord says to Philip, now, you see here how much we need here. And Philip, well, he was the committee man, and he decided, well, I'll calculate. And he said, whoa. Well, now, we don't have enough. Don't have enough money here. So, well, we must just send them home. Not at all with Andrew. Andrew comes to the little lad and brings the little lad to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I often think of the saying when they brought him, little is much when God is in it. A little lad. And there's been people saved last year because of the little child. And there's parents have confessed to people in this congregation that the Lord is speaking to them because their little child has come to Christ and they've seen the change in their life, and what they are saying to them in their home, God is speaking to them. Never you take lightly the conversion of a little child. The lad was brought, Andrew says, oh, see the resourcefulness of Andrew. Come you here. And he brought the lad to the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6, you can read about it. And Andrew says, here's the lad, and here's a wee lunch. Now, there's not much in the lunch, but he's the lunch. And he knew that the miracle-working God that had saved him and now he was serving was the God who could do more abundant than what he could even ask or think. You see, Andrew is more eager to tell Jesus about the loaves they have rather than the money they don't have. And sometimes God calls us to do big things and we're nearly holding back because, well, we don't have the finance. The Lord has blessed this congregation in the past year. Many money has been brought in and works have been blessed by it. And we praise God for it. What about Kenya? Kenya's better off today, and I'm not saying this boastfully, but I'm saying this encouragingly today. Kenya is better off today because God put it in the heart of the people to give. And today multitudes have been reached in Kenya. Maybe you thought, oh, my wee pound. Or my fiver. Let me say to you, it's well used today because there's a fine building going up and children have been brought in and they're hearing the message of God's salvation. And who knows, out of that number, many will go out to preach the gospel. Isn't that great? Oh, never you take things lightly. God can use the little thing today. He can use your little gift today. He can use your life today if you only hand it over to Him. I believe we see here in this act that God does the limitless sufficiency of Christ. Oh, He's the all-sufficient one. Philippians chapter 4 says, "But my God shall supply all your need." Thank God for that. And God can do it today. And whether we are called to personal evangelism, practical service, compassionate help, or whether whatever Christ has called us to do today, the little we have, we must place submissively into the Father's hand. Totally hand it over to the Lord. Will you hand your life completely to the Lord this year? Oh Lord, the Lord's not asking for great things. He has given you a gift and you use it. Just all He wants is you to hand your life over to Him. The Lord's servant on Thursday night in the prayer meeting said, concerning how He calls people and not many wise are called and so on, and He went through the list. And friend, I'm glad because that brought me in. Not too much brains between these ears here. But the Lord's willing to use us if we hand our lives to Him. Not many mating. That brings a lot of us in too, isn't it? When we hand over to the Lord does the rest. Oh, you might say, but I could never. I said that one time too. But with the help of the God, I can now. And God can do it with you. Sacrificially given our lives to Him. There are those who have given their money when others have clutched to the purse. There are those who have offered their time to Christ when others have squandered it. What have you done? Wasted it away. There's others who have surrendered their lives to Christ when others have satisfied or pleased themselves with what they are happy with. And as the lad made his way home that day, he could make his way home because he had handed over that little box and God greatly used it. There was a miracle wrought and the multitude were fed because one lad gave his lunch willingly to Christ. And he was brought to Christ by Andrew. Oh, I say to you today, what are you going to hand over to Christ? I'm closed. But I ask you in this year 2004, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, and you're glad to take the title Christian, aren't you? But I ask you today, what are you going to hand over to the Lord in your life? This year 2004. He mightn't call you to great things, but he asks you to do something for him. And I ask you today, and you're not answering to me. You're answering to one who has given you life, who has saved you, has washed in his blood. You're answering to him today. What are you giving over to Christ for his service? Are you going to say today, Lord, make me a true disciple in 2004. Here's my life. Here's my money, here's my time, here's my gifts, here's my talents. Lord, here is my all today. And Lord, if 2004 is going to be blessed and is going to do changes in my life, Lord, make this change in my life. Here is me. With all its faults and failures, but Lord, here's me. Take me and use me. And if you mean that, God will do it. And God will bless you for it. And through it, many will be reached with the gospel. Whatever it is, I say to you, Christian, today, don't waste your life in 2004. But use your life right for Christ. And it'll be a blessing to your heart and life and to multitudes of others. May the Lord bless his thoughts to your heart. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for thy help to us, and we pray, Lord, that each of us will be an Andrew today. Lord, we pray that before we leave here, that now we who are thine will rightly confess, Lord, here's my life, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Lord, may each of us hand willingly and sacrificially over to thee this day. And what you'd have us to do, where you'd have us to go, what you'd have us to say, may you help us to do it in the strength of the Lord. And for those today that are outside of Christ, Lord, save them, we pray. May they come to the Lamb of God this morning. And for those who are cold and backslidden, Lord, bring them back to their first love and into the service of the Master again. And Lord, may we go forward as workers together with God in 2004. Hedge this work beneath the blood. Bless every aspect of it, we pray. And may we know the baptism of God, the Holy Spirit, in the days to come. And this year, may multitudes find Christ the Saviour. Hear our prayer and accept of our thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.